I love our women's theological reflection group. We meet once a month, and it is a time to share our joys, our sorrows, and our stories. Danae Dwyer, a member of our congregation, who is actually upstairs teaching our Explore class right now, and the new group's leader, sent out this email a few weeks ago. Here are Danae's words. "It is Thanksgiving this month, and I thought a twist on the grateful theme might be a discussion on being grateful in all circumstances, even the ones that suck. After my last week, I feel as if this notion was adequately reinforced. My father had a series of strokes last Sunday morning. They began right before he was supposed to preach at a small church near his home, where he's serving as the interim pastor. This unforeseen cluster of strokes have left his left side numb and unfeeling. However, his mind is surprisingly clear. For this, I am shouting quiet praises in my heart. After my mom filled me in on his status in the ER, I spoke with him briefly, and the conversation went something like this. Hi, Dad.
Hello, Danae.
How are you, Dad? Well, this is kind of a dumb question, but it does always just seem to flow out of my mouth, even in obviously dire circumstances.
I'm good. I was going to get ready for church this morning. I went upstairs and my leg just gave out. I thought I just lost my balance, but here I am.
By this point, I'm so concerned. The prognosis was still unknown. He sounded fuzzy, was slurring, and I'm thinking about how his brain is functioning, wondering if my dad is still my dad. So I want to test his memory and processing. Dad, what are you going to preach on? Pause. Longer pause. My insides are freaking out.
1 Thessalonians 5:16-22.
I'm instantly relieved that he can remember this, particularly because I don't even know if I remembered that Thessalonians was a book in the Bible. And I'm pretty sure I thought it was in the Old Testament before I looked it up after our conversations. What's it about?
Love, joy, you know, all that stuff.
Here I think he was trying to be funny, totally his style, but also a little annoyed with me and my inquisition. Really, what is the sermon about? Pause. A little too long for my insecurities.
Be joyful always.
It comes out slowly, but real and joyfully. I hear through the thousands of miles between us his tone, his voice, and his words light up with love and energy. He tells me that his church is doing a series of sermons on Thessalonians. Because I have not yet been able to see him, I can assure you he is not a sick man in a hospital. He is a joyful man that can still speak passionately about the things he loves most. And my greatest gift in this moment, the thing I choose to give space to, is that joy, his beautiful modeling of the faith that has moved him through the years. Hopefully, I can learn to be a little louder in my own. There is something so mouth-droppingly moving in witnessing faith amidst struggle."
Hear now these words from the New Testament, from the Message version. "Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your own part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Don't suppress the Spirit. and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. May God Himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Friends, keep up your prayers for us. Greet all the followers of Jesus there with a holy embrace. And make sure this letter gets read to all the brothers and sisters. Don't leave anyone out. The amazing grace of Jesus Christ be with you.
I was talking to one of my childhood friends this week, and we were talking about our weeks, and I said that I was preaching today. She said with a sigh, "Oh, you're just going to tell him to be thankful, right?" I could hear the sassiness in her voice. I said, "Well, isn't that what they expect of me?" And then a little pause. She's going through a little bit of a rocky time, and so then her next question was a poignant one. "Well, how are you supposed to be thankful when life is tough?" Well, it's clear from the scripture passage that we are to give thanks always, in all circumstances, even when life is tough. And I know that's a tall order, a tough thing to do, a tough thing to do if you are someone who's overwhelmed by grief in this season, or has a cloud of depression or anxiety over you. It's tough to be thankful when you've buried a loved one, expectedly or unexpectedly, or when your body is being ravaged with treatment that's supposed to help the disease, but is hurting your body. Or it's hard to be thankful when you have a miscarriage and you've been praying for this baby and there is no baby. It's hard to give thanks. And yet in that Thessalonians passage, Paul tells the people who are clearly going through struggles to be thankful always. When I was towards the end of my college career, I read the book Traveling Mercies by Anne Lamott. You know, so I was reading a lot of books for my classes in college, so I didn't often read for fun. But this is an easy book to get through, Traveling Mercies. It's poignant, short little chapters, it's honest. Anne Lamott tells of her journey and her struggles. And I remember, 14 years later, this one chapter called Cracks. And in it, she explains she's 28 and she's in a rough place. She's doing cocaine, she's drinking on a regular basis, she has no job. She's grieving her father who has passed away just a few years earlier. And she breaks up with who she assumes is the love of her life. She's down and out and has nowhere to go. So she calls an old friend, Pam, and asks if she can stay with her. And so she stays in Pam's house, but Pam doesn't know about her struggles, that she's an alcoholic, that she's bulimic, that she has no job, that she goes to X-rated hotels to meet men. Pam knows nothing. So one day, Anne goes out with her empty bottles on a walk to try to dispose of the bottles so she can keep this secret. She throws the bottles away in a trash can and is walking back to Pam's house and passes by St. Stephen's Episcopal Church. Anne remembers this church fondly because it's where her family went every Christmas Eve to worship. And she remembers going as a kid with some of her friends' families as well. A few days later, Anne wakes up and has this bad feeling that she's going to die, either from overdosing or from the alcohol. So she picks up the phone and calls the priest. He could immediately tell that she was in a bad place, and so she asked, "Can I come now? Can I come right now to talk to you?" He was running out the door, but he heard the desperation in her voice, so he said, "Sure." It took her 45 minutes to walk to St. Stephen's Episcopal Church. She gets there and she hugs him like he's been her long-lost best friend, and out comes her story, the whole dirty, nasty, bad thing. And she says to him, "I don't think God could love me." And without missing a beat, he says, "Of course God loves you. That's God's job." And then she says, "But I've been praying. I don't want to be this way. I want a way out. And I've been praying and my prayers are going unanswered." And Bill, the priest, said, "Stop praying and breathe. I'll pray for you." They met every week for months, and they would talk and they would walk. Anne's words. She quoted Leonard Cohen's song about cracks. "There are cracks everywhere, and that's where the light comes through." But Anne explains that there was no light, there was no hope, until she says, "Slowly I came back to life. I'd been like one of those people Ezekiel comes upon in the valley of the dry bones, people who had really given up, who were lifeless and without hope. But because of Ezekiel's presence, breath comes upon them, spirit and kindness revive them." That's what Bill did for Anne. He revived her with spirit and with kindness and with hope. You heard that passage, right? That we're called to gently encourage the stragglers and to reach out to those who are exhausted and pull them up. Gently encourage the stragglers, reach out to those who are exhausted and pull them up. Be patient with each person meeting their individual needs. That's what Paul tells us we have to do. And that's what Bill did for Anne. Just this past week, I was listening to NPR on the radio into work, and I was kind of getting a little disgruntled, and I was like, "I'm just going to turn this off. I don't want to hear any more news stories or anything. I just want quiet." I was about to turn it off, and on Morning Edition comes this, like, three-minute story about how most police officers aren't trained to deal with, cope with people who have mental health issues when they are called to an incident. But they were highlighting that Rhode Island police have been getting more training on this. Amy came on to tell her story, much like Anne, sadly. She was having a hard time. She was in her apartment alone, had been drinking, and she desperately wanted to go to sleep, so she took sleeping pills, but she didn't remember how many. So she called 911 in a panic and said, "I don't like police officers. I'm scared of them. But I have bipolar, and I took sleeping pills, and I don't know how many, and I think I need help." That message must have gotten through to the police officer, because he knocked gently on the door. No lights, no sirens. He smiled, and he said, "I'm here to help." As soon as he walked in, he noticed she wasn't fully dressed, so he told her to get dressed, waited for her patiently, and then took her to the hospital. 2 days later, guess who came to visit? That police officer. Practically in tears in the interview on Morning Edition, she said, "He treated me like a human being, someone who has feelings, and that made all the difference." Paul tells us what we are to do, that we are called to give thanks in all circumstances, that we are called to gently encourage the stragglers, to reach out to those who are exhausted, to lift them up, to be patient with each person. The call is a big one, But look at our stories. Danae gives thanks for her dad through all of it, has faith. And Anne needed Bill to give her that hope again, to give her that time to pick her up and to dust her off and to tell her that God loves her no matter what. And Amy needed that smile and that kindness of that police officer to revive her. So, am I going to tell you to go out into the world to be thankful? Yeah, because isn't that what you expect of me? Am I going to tell you that life is hard and sometimes it just plain sucks? Yep, because that's the truth. And yet, we are called to encourage the stragglers, to lift up the exhausted, to be patient, and to give thanks always. It's hard, but the world needs us, and it's our call. Amen.